We wanted to find out, did they read it? And really, in the most practical terms, if they did, how? Like, who read it, under what circumstances, in what venues, and in what format did they read it?
And Art, there are so many fascinating questions asked about in the study. I wish we had time to cover every inch of the study, but we're going to have to take the high points here, the executive summary, as they say. Who in America reads the Bible the most, and which version do they use the most?
Right. For us, one of the most elegant and fascinating findings was that essentially half of Americans said they had read Scripture at least once in the last year. And, you know, you have to go somewhere, because if you just ask people, have you ever read Scripture? Well, yes, they probably have. So we thought that by asking if they had done it in the last year, that would at least give us a sense of who somewhat actively had read it. And that was 50-50. And then, of course, of the 50% who had read in the last year, 95% of those had read the Bible, which means that roughly 48% of Americans read the Bible in the last year. So that's kind of the headline number, that roughly half of Americans have read the Bible. Now, there are several things that would not surprise people about the readers. It is the case that older Americans read at a somewhat higher rate than younger Americans. You know, it's what sociologists call a descending cascade. 56% of Americans over 75, the age of 75, have read the Bible in the last year. 44% of Americans between the ages 18 and 29. So you can see it kind of cascading slowly down from 56 to 44 as people get younger. However, what I would say is, I mean, 56 is somewhat more than half, 44 somewhat less than half, but maybe that spread is not as wide as people would think. I mean, it's not like 90% of elderly people and 10% of younger people. It's just a slightly adjusted difference. By far, people are reading the King James Version of the Bible, and while I want to be cautious, I mean, I'm an academic, cautious is my middle name, I want to be cautious about how much we try to take from that. I do think that that it says there's a certain kind of traditional deference and reverence people apply when they're reading Scripture, and that's one of the reasons they read the Bible in the King James Version. Our questions were on the General Social Survey. The General Social Survey is given every 2 years. It's done by the National Opinion Resource Center in Chicago. It's the best survey in America on which you can ask questions like this. The census is also obviously a wonderful survey, but it does not ask religion questions. When you do this, you find that more Americans than most people may realize think of the Bible either as the inerrant Word of God, so the infallibly true Word of God, or at least as the inspired Word of God. So Americans come to Scripture with a very, what I would call, high view of its authority. The survey is so clear that people view it as the inerrant word or the inspired word that I don't think that's likely to be wrong. And moreover, that survey result has held up over decades, both in the General Social Survey and in Gallup surveys, which is another excellent source in which these questions are asked regularly. Actually, also the Barna surveys. You're going to find that true over and over. By far, the favorite book or story was the Book of Psalms, either Psalms in its entirety, or, and your listeners will not be surprised to hear, or the 23rd Psalm, The Lord is My Shepherd. We found this interesting because it fit with what people said about why they read the Bible, which was for personal prayer or devotion, or to learn about their religion. I think some of Bible reading done on people's own is as a source of inspiration, but also a source of comfort and consolation. So anyhow, Psalms is one. After Psalms, the most cited response was the Book of John. And again, your listeners wouldn't be surprised to hear John 3:16. One of the things that this tells us is there are famous passages like the 23rd Psalm and John 3:16 that have an enormous amount of resonance in American culture. And I think, not surprising then, that goes with the King James finding that the majority of people still read the Bible in the King James translation. Those verses have a cultural resonance. People know them when they hear them. I think they get comfort from hearing them in that formal language they associate with them. I just think those things all fit together to be a way to help us understand how the Bible functions in people's everyday lives.
Wonderful. People are greatly inspired by those scriptures. Those are classics. I presume, Art, that very few people probably mentioned Leviticus as their favorite scripture.
There was not much Leviticus. You know, nobody ever says, you know, in Numbers when it lists how many hand servants and how many oxen, you never get that one either.
I'm not surprised. Well, Art, this seems to be one of the most amazing studies I've ever seen regarding the Bible, but I see that this is just the beginning of your center's analysis of the Bible. What are the next steps?
Right. We started with this survey, and then we worked with some tremendous historians and also cultural analysts to help us think about it. This summer, we're going to hold a conference here in Indianapolis, and we were able to invite 36 people to come to this. We're just now reviewing the proposals they've made for papers they want to give. Some of these will be about the use of the Bible in American history. Some will be about contemporary uses. They'll be about the differences between men and women in the Bible, between Protestants and Catholics. There'll be all kinds of different papers, and then we hope to be able to produce further information from that. All of this is made possible by a grant from the Lilly Endowment, based here in Indianapolis. Their funding allowed us to put these questions on the General Social Survey, and they also allow us to host this conference and to pay the expenses of the people who come to it. We're a state university. Our purposes are secular, which is to say, we're not promoting religion, but neither is it our job to be anti-religious or to insist that religion must be separated from other forms of public life. Just as people study history or economics, religion plays an enormous role in the life of Americans, and we're studying this and using this foundation support to do that.